Hi, y'all. This is Lee. Welcome to Hashing It Out with Lee Montgomery. Hey, guys, it's Lee, and today we're going to talk about sleep. Sleep, sleep, sleep. This is actually one of the things that was awful for me at the beginning of my journey. By the way, we also have Liza here, who honestly probably was worse than me on sleep whenever I met her.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I was very bad at sleep. I thought I was a night owl, and I kept telling Lee like, oh, I'm so good at night. And that was a lie. That was a lie I was telling myself.
Yeah. The story we tell ourselves. I was a night owl for the first probably, honestly, 35 years. I mean, I would probably, I don't know, stay up working till 2-3 in the morning. I would go to sleep. I'd wake up, I would take my son to school, come back. Now I worked from home, so I had some flexibility, but I'd come back home after dropping him off, get back in bed, and I would sleep till 11 or 12, wake up, start working again, rinse and repeat. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, that 12 to 2 a.m., midnight to 2 a.m., I was super, super like productive.
Yes, yes. That was mine, except mine is like, yeah, it was like 11 to 1. I was killing it. I was like, man, I'm getting so much stuff done. And I think it was having kids. I thought that was my only quiet time. So I thought like, this is where I need to be working. This is how I need to do it. But I didn't realize how jacked up I was because of it.
Yes. And what we know now, right, is that was just a cortisol spike that was happening because we were staying up so late. But, you know, honestly, I look back and as a young mom, it was also uninterrupted time. So you pair those two together. It was quiet time plus a second cortisol spike. Well, let's go, baby. I got some shit done.
Yeah, exactly.
Just didn't know it was killing every other part of my life.
Yes, it was like ruining my health. But I
had no hair.
Very productive.
Yeah, I had no eyebrows. I was only pooping once every two weeks, but I was very productive. So if y'all haven't figured out, sleep is super foundational in our healing journey. It actually gives our body a chance to even go into a healing state. And even your thoughts. So I don't know if you've ever noticed when I don't get good sleep, and I might can go one night without great sleep, but if I start with a cumulative effect, like 1, 2, 3 nights, I start to get a little bit anxious in my thoughts. I start to not be able to complete thoughts. I start to not be able to think of words, complete sentences. And so I start to get this overall, like overwhelmed effect on my body. And that simply is my body not being able to process and file away at night like it should be. And that is the biggest part of sleep or lack of sleep that impacted me. And the biggest thing, the return I got from starting to sleep consistently.
Right. Well, that's not like for me, it was, I'm not a hangry person, like, and that's a problem. And Lee's been working with me on that, on doing better about eating more. And we've talked about being chronically underfed and how bad that is. I did all the bad things, Hashi girls. If you're feeling bad about yourself, it's okay. Just like put up my picture and like, I've done it already. Like I really screwed it up.
But, I'll post Liza's picture later.
But when we had this moment of realization when it comes to sleep, I realized my mood was really affected. It's my mood. So I wouldn't get hangry, but if I don't sleep, I have no patience.
Yes. And so failing to address sleep seems to be a trend lately. So we see a lot of programs out there. And I'm not dissing other programs. There's a lot of great programs out there. But so many of them go straight to, how are you eating? What are you eating? How much are you eating? The quality of your food, which is all great stuff. And they even want to talk about weight loss, but they don't address sleep and just how important that sleep is. So good sleep actually has a direct effect on lowering cortisol, healing adrenal fatigue, regulating blood sugar, aiding in weight loss, and encouraging just a maintenance of healthy weight. If I have 2 or 3 nights of less than stellar sleep, I see the scale starts creeping up a little bit. My body is more inflamed. I wake up, my rings don't fit. And so all of these things can basically be corrected or at least pushed in the right direction just by focusing on sleep. Sleep is actually when we heal. So what and how, like, what are we doing here? So, and I know a lot of the moms listening, we've got moms that are newborn moms, even moms of toddlers. I mean, Liza, we're sitting here in a podcast and she had to get up and walk out because her toddler was in there talking to her. Like, we live that life. We are yes. you, right?
It's real life. No, this yes. isn't like Instagram, like flexing. This is definitely real life. Your kids are going to get sick. They're going to have nights where you have to get up and stay up with them. They're going to go through weird phases where they wake up super early or they stay up super late. Or my three-year-old, right before he turned three, loved to be awake from like 2 to 4 in the morning. And it's like, okay, that's actually not my productive time anymore because now I'm sharing it with my son.
So. Yes. And then you get into my phase where I've got teenagers and we've got sports basically 5 nights a week. I'm married to a coach. So that makes sports basically 7 nights a week. And right. so we're out really, really late. And when we get home, it's getting them fed, getting baths. No, I don't have to give baths, but getting them in the showers, getting homework done, getting in bed. So by the time it's even quiet in my house, typically on a weeknight, it's 10 or 10:30 at night. Right. And now I have to figure out a way to wind down. So I'm not getting in bed till later. Right. And so it's just that never ending grind as a mom. But I will tell you, when I put focus on my sleep, I get better sleep and I usually can squeeze in more time. Right. Because let's all be honest, we have time. You can probably find time where you're simply scrolling. Sometimes guilty right. here, I just sit down and do nothing because I just love being unbothered. You know what I'm saying? I just sit there and like, decompress. And next thing you know, I've wasted 30 minutes where I could have been getting ready for bed and in bed and turned that 30 minutes into at least 20 minutes of sleep. Right. So I just will tell you, as you go through what we're about to talk about, this bedtime checklist, be very honest with yourself. We all feel rushed. We all feel overwhelmed. We all feel super busy. But I promise you, if you go through your daily schedule, you're probably going to be able to find a few minutes that you can squeeze out of your day so that you can get in a few extra minutes of sleep every night. So let's go ahead and jump right into that. Today, we're going to talk about 3 simple things. I didn't say they were easy, but they are pretty darn simple, that you can implement right now to help improve your sleep. Okay, so number one, y'all better be ready because this one is groundbreaking. But it's set a bedtime. Sounds simple, not always easy for a mom, right? Especially if our evenings are unpredictable with our families. So the easiest way for me to do that was to kind of look at my worst day with my family and say, on my worst day, this is the time my family is typically in bed, meaning my children, right? And sure. So then I, from there, could say, okay, then on my worst day, this is when I can get in bed. Now, it can be sooner on other days, but I'm trying to create a consistent bedtime. That's pretty important. If you can get into bed at the same time, at least 95% of the nights, you're going to allow your bodies to start to develop a proper circadian rhythm. Our bodies want to wind down and want to go to sleep as the sun goes down. Okay. Well, here in Texas right now, that's 8 o'clock. I'm not getting in bed at 8 o'clock. but it is a cue. If the sun's coming down, start to lighten the load at home, lighten the mood, bring the, you know, if you've got the dimmer lights or whatever, turn off the overhead lighting, make things quiet, start to get in the mood for bedtime, even if bedtime's 2-3 hours away. Right. And so just setting that bedtime or starting to set the ambiance for a bedtime is super important. So for me, typically my worst night with my kids would have them in bed between 10 and 10:30. Okay. So my goal is that I will be in bed by 11, which kind of sounds kind of late for some people, But it works for me because I get to sleep. I have, y'all don't hate on me, okay? My husband actually wakes up with the children in the morning. He doesn't wake me up until 7, and then I kind of swoom in and like make sure breakfast is ready and lunches are done and then get them out the door by 7:45, right? So because I can sleep till 7, if I'm in bed by 11, that gives me right at 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep, right? And so that works for me very well. Now, pro tip here, I don't just remember to get in bed at 11. I still physically, I need some sort of alarm or indicator that says, hey, now's the time to start winding down, because I'll get busy doing stuff, very, very monkey minded, very squirrel brained, right? And next thing I know, it'll be 11:15. So I set an alarm on my handy dandy smartphone. I have an iPhone. You can actually go into the alarm app and set a bedtime. You can tell it, if you want your bedtime to be at 11, you can tell it to give you a 45 minute warning. I think it plays like a little lullaby or something. And it tells you now it's time to start getting ready for sleep. And so I give myself that 45 minutes to basically wrap things up, right? Finish what I'm doing, go take a shower if I need to take a shower, wash my face, even give myself a few minutes to read my book or whatever before I go to bed. So that's what works really, really well for me.
Well, it's funny because Lee and I have, our kids are different ages. So for moms out there, I totally get it. But I was telling Lee, this is my only quiet time. Like, I can't set a bedtime. I have to stay up late. That's the only time I can get things done. And I had really convinced myself of this, but I happen to have really great sleepers. My kids are both really good sleepers. And it's because I worked really hard on creating a routine for them. And so we were already winding down at certain times and we were doing calm things with my kids because I wanted my kids to go to bed. And so it was funny because she was like, Liza, you already know how to do all of this. You're doing all of this for your little ones. Why aren't you doing it for yourself? And that for me was pretty groundbreaking because if you're a mom and you've got kind of routine in place, like a sleep routine for your kiddos, all that stuff that you're doing for them, you should probably do that for yourself as well. You can give yourself a few more hours, but you know, I had great sleepers and I took a lot of pride in keeping their sleep schedule on track because of how much effort I put into it. And then I put zero effort into my own. So when Lee was like, take a look at this and just do it for yourself, I was like, man, this is really not bad at all. I can do this.
Yeah. So, you know, I think depending on where your children are, your sleep bedtime routine, whatever, might look a little bit different, but I will encourage you to start somewhere, right? Maybe this week your goal is 10:30 and you miss it by 20 minutes every night. Well, why don't you try 10:45 next week, but really put in the effort to get there, right? And just know that this isn't going to happen overnight. This is something that took me probably a solid month or two to really get the hang of. But now it's something that every single night, you know, my little phone talks to my little watch on my wrist. I get a little buzz that says it's time for your bedtime. You know, I start to wind down. I hit it most of the nights. And the nights that I don't sweat it. But I will tell you this, I am such a stickler about my sleep now. I always know what time I have to wake up the next morning. And I know what time my bedtime is because I need 7 hours of sleep. 7 to 7:15 is where my really great ideal time so that I can function.
Right.
And the only reason I know that is because I've practiced it. I've implemented it. I've messed up, right? I've gotten used to sleeping and then didn't get sleep. It makes a difference. So I'm going to encourage you, set that bedtime. Don't just think you're going to remember it. Take the next step, put an alarm on your phone, put a sticky note somewhere, but do something so that you actually have that reminder while you're trying to build the habit. Next thing is temperature. This is huge. I don't know about y'all, but I sleep with it really cold in my house. Okay. And when we go somewhere and it's not my house, like, and it's not a hotel room where I can control the thermostat, we take a fan now because typically it's too hot for me. I realize most people don't sleep with their ACs where they need to. And I'm like, should I tell them that they need to turn their AC down because it's too hot in here? They'll sleep better. So ideal temperature is actually between 65 and 67 degrees at night. Did you know that? Like, It's crazy, right? And I sleep with mine, honestly, on 68. 68 works for me. Now, mind you, I have a box fan at the end of my bed. I have an oscillating fan on the side of my bed, and we have a ceiling fan above us. Now, a lot of that is for the white noise and to keep the air moving, but
she sleeps in a wind tunnel, you guys. Basically, it's a wind tunnel is where she sleeps. Like, she's not even laying on the bed. She's levitating it. Off the bed. There's so much air.
It makes such a huge difference. And I'll tell you, for years, it was just a ceiling fan and an oscillating fan. Well, our oscillating fan broke. Okay. And my husband had a box fan up in the attic and he brought it down. Well, once we replaced the oscillating fan, he tried to take the box fan away and I was like, you can't take that away. And he was like, why not? It's awful. And I was like, it's the noise. That box fan makes the best noise at night. So if you know, the side benefit here of keeping it cool with a fan, white noise. So 65 to 67 degrees.
Sound machine and air.
Yes. So just learn your body, know where you're at, because I will tell you, during my cycle, the week before my cycle, I actually do have to put that temperature down to 67 because I'm sweating at 68. 67, I'm fine. 68, I'm not. That's just the week before my period. After my period, 67, I'm literally shivering in my bed. So it's amazing just what 1 degree will change for you. If you're someone who is sleeping in 76, I would encourage you, go to 73. Go to 71, start turning that thermostat down and see, does it make a difference? Now, if you're listening to this and you're like a California person, y'all, have you ever been to California? Those people don't have ACs in their house. It is amazing. So if that is who you are and you don't have an AC in your house for whatever reason, or you're someone who lives in Arizona where it doesn't matter if you had 10 ACs going, it's not probably going to hit 65 degrees in the middle of the night. There are a couple of things that you can do to help outside of turning your thermostat down, or maybe you meet in the middle. Maybe you turn your thermostat down a little bit, but we try these other things to keep our bodies cool. One of them is your PJs. Ladies, I don't know about you, but for years, I just wore t-shirt and panties, right? Full disclosure here. Sorry. But I was introduced to a brand called Soma. And Soma has a line of pajamas called Cool Nights. By far the best thing that I've ever done for myself at night. I'm actually wearing a set right now. I actually only own 3 sets because they're kind of pricey. I always buy them around Christmas because they typically go about 40% off. but they are my absolute favorite. They have a cooling effect in them. Mine are 2 or 3 years old. Even with the multiple washes, they still have that cooling effect. So if you don't have cooling pajamas, I highly recommend you look into them. Soma is my favorite brand. I've seen knockoffs on Amazon, but I can't tell you how long those last. So I don't know if those are worth the money, but it might be worth it. If you try them and you like them, let us know. The other thing is your sheets. Okay. If you're sleeping on like a microfiber or something like that, that's a hot sheet. So looking into a cooling sheet, they'll typically tell you that. I think bamboo is supposed to be cooling as well. And there's there are some moisture wicking sheets. I've actually just bought some from a company called Peach Sheets or something like that out of Georgia. It's a really cool little logo. And they are more of an athletic moisture wicking type sheet, and they're very cooling. So again, these are other ways to bring the temperature down without impacting your overall like electric bill. Now, there is one other option called the Chili Sleep. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it is a pad that you buy that goes on your mattress that you can control from either side of the bed. So you and your spouse, if you have a spouse, can have your own temperature setting, and it cools the bed down. So this is a great option for maybe someone in California or maybe Arizona where the temperatures are harder to control. Also, side benefit of the Chili Sleep is that it's water that kind of whooshes through this pad. So you get the white noise as well. I've heard really great things about it. I have not needed to use one. We're actually about to move into a house that is an older home. And so if the AC there isn't as efficient as the one in this house, then you better know that I'm probably going to be investing in a chilly sleep pad. So setting that temperature was a game changer for me. And honestly, I had no idea that it would make such a huge difference. Now, my poor husband, I just put an extra blanket on his side because he freezes his tail off every night with me.
Every night.
So, number two, set a temperature. And number three, the last one, again, one of those ones that a lot of people disregard when I talk about it, but when they actually implement this one, they get huge benefits. Okay. We call this one brain dumping. So how many of you get in bed at night, you lay down, turn the light off, you're getting all cozy, ready to go to sleep. And then all of a sudden you're like, I need an oil change. I'm out of gas. Did I put the top back on the peanut butter? Did I order my kids lunch? You know, like all these stupid things come to your head and now you can't go to sleep. Right. And so this is why we call this brain dump. It's typically not a journal. This isn't where I want you going in here and telling me about your day and all that. This is really, honestly, you're just writing down things that you are basically telling your brain, don't forget these things because I need to go to sleep. Because your brain's trying to keep you up saying, don't forget these things. And so I might write down a grocery list or something that I forgot at the grocery store. An early appointment I have the next day that I don't want to forget. You know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and you forget about that early appointment because it's just, you slept it away. Gosh, list anything that you can think of that enters your brain that's keeping you from sleep. This is where you want to brain dump it. Okay. So I just went and bought like a Steno notepad and a pencil, and it stays by my bed every night when I go to sleep. If I can think of anything that needs to be written down, I write it down, put my pencil down, turn over, go to sleep. It has made a huge difference in me being able to fall asleep. Okay. So brain dumping, again, this isn't time to go write a book. Okay. This is just a simple list to give yourself that reminder so that you allow your brain to go to sleep. All right. So let's do some troubleshooting, because honestly, I think that it's pretty simple one for me to say, here's your list, go do this and have a great night's sleep. And to you saying, I tried this, this doesn't work, right? So anytime I give you action steps, I always want you to follow that up with what worked well, what didn't work well. How can we factor in like what's keeping this from working? Whether it's we need to adjust the bedtime routine a little bit, we need to maybe adjust the temperature or the brain dumping, whatever it is. So these are just some questions that I want you to start to ask yourself when you start to practice this bedtime routine or this new sleeping habit. So if you're having trouble going to sleep at night, you want to ask yourself, hey, am I drinking coffee too late? Am I having too much caffeine during the day? You want to address your caffeine habits. Like that is one thing that will prevent people from going to sleep, right? So are you drinking caffeine too late in the day? For me, 3-4 o'clock, I'm a pretty fast caffeine metabolizer. Doesn't impact me. I can drink caffeine 3, 4, 5 o'clock. I could lay down at 10 o'clock and go to sleep. My mom can have one cup of coffee during the day. And typically in the morning, she cannot have anything after that, or that girl's not going to sleep.
I can't even imagine.
I can't imagine either. So if you're that sensitive to caffeine, maybe you need to set a rule that says I can't have caffeine after lunch or whatever time that is, but you do want to ask that question. Maybe you notice that you're having trouble going to sleep after you turn off the television. So if you're someone that has electronics in your room at night, whether it's a TV or a phone, I would encourage you to make that part of your bedtime routine, that those things power down. Okay. For us, we actually took the TV out of our bedroom. That was a game changer, game changer. Let me tell you, talk about resistance. I was so pissed when my husband came up with this idea, like probably didn't talk to him for 2 weeks, because I use the TV when I'm folding clothes. right? Yeah. And now I didn't have a TV to use anymore. But honestly, it was the best decision that we ever made. Because we don't have that last little jolt, right? Before we go to bed, that blue light or whatever. You know, my husband, I would come to bed and he'd be watching MMA and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, can you imagine watching Yellowstone right before you go to bed? Right? Like, no.
No, it's impossible. That's what my husband, that's probably one of our only arguments is that he's like, hey, you're in bed, let's watch a show. But his shows are all like, it's war or something sci-fi or something like super duper stressful. And like, he can turn it off, roll over and go to bed. I'm like going to be up like worrying about like Battlestar Galactica or whatever for however long after. Like, it takes me like a full hour to like decompress from that adrenaline. So I can't handle it. And he always laughs because I'll say, okay, do you want to watch like a documentary? And he's like, well, then we might as well go to sleep. And I'm like, all right, then let's go to sleep.
Same. I agree. And the same goes for the phone, right? So years ago, someone mentioned to me just getting the phone out of the bedroom because I didn't have self-control in my bed. Like, I would scroll. Next thing you know, it's 30 minutes into my bedtime. I'd put my phone down. If I'd wake up in the middle of the night, I would scroll again if I couldn't go back to sleep. If people text me, I was looking at the text. I didn't, you know, all these things. So I finally just wanted the phone away from me. I didn't want it sitting on my nightstand anymore. And so we put our phones in the kitchen. They are attached to the plug that is closest to our bedroom. That door is open. I can hear if someone calls. I can hear if I need to get up and answer the phone. But honestly, it was the best decision to just take it out. So when it's time for my bedtime, my phone actually goes into a sleep mode. And in order for me to bypass that, I actually have to click like 3 buttons that tells it it's okay to bypass this for 15 minutes or whatever it is, right? So that I can get to whatever I need to. So I kind of put, you know, I always talk about adding friction. I add like that friction step so that my phone will be put away. So if TV is a problem, phone is a problem, I would highly consider either removing them entirely or setting rules around them. And then even putting more friction there so that you actually implement the rules, right? There's no sense in having those things that tell your phone to go into sleep mode if you're just constantly bypassing them. So we talked about caffeine. We talked about electronics. You know, the journaling before bed, I think can be super important. However, don't turn it into like a whole written journal. You know, like Liza's a writer. She could probably sit there and actually write for hours and come up with an excuse on, hey, I was just journaling. Make it more of a brain dump, right? Getting rid of information in your head so that you can actually go to sleep. And then also, if you're finding yourself waking up in the middle of the night, sometimes for many people, I tell them, look at your eating habits. Are you someone that eats super early in the day? Like, is your dinner, Eliza's got young kids, their dinner time is 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. Well, she's not going to bed till 10:30, 11. We're what, 4 hours away from your last meal?
Right. Yeah.
So, absolutely. Yeah. So sometimes we have a blood sugar crash in the middle of the night and that will wake you up. So I always encourage people, if you eat relatively early in the evening, you might want to just try some sort of bedtime snack. That is going to be typically a protein filled bedtime snack. Like, I like to do a nice little, balanced snack. So protein, carb, fat. A lot of times I'm just doing a rice cake with almond butter, right? Very simple. Sometimes I'll do ham roll ups on a rice cake. Sometimes I'll do a Greek yogurt. Any of those things will work. And just see, does that prevent your body from having that blood sugar crash in the middle of the night and get you to sleep throughout the night? Now, again, it may not work the first couple of times. You might have to adjust that snack to see what works. Ice cream does not work for me. Ice cream actually makes me feel bad before I go to sleep, right?
Right. Nothing that gives you heartburn. Also, yeah. Lee is not judgmental at all, but she will totally shame you for eating at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because she loves to be like, oh, it's 2:30. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I call during dinner?
Because who eats at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and it's dinner? I'm like, it's on my
parents of young children and old people. Okay. Yeah. We're early bird special people. This is an early bird special like household over here.
Yeah. And I'm like eating my afternoon snack and Eliza's eating dinner. I haven't even thought about what I'm cooking for dinner yet. So,
but basically you can make it work for you. You can make it work for you. And that's the thing. Sometimes you see these cute lists on Pinterest and you're like, sweet, I'm just going to do that. Like, here it is. It's so simple. Let me just like knock this out. And Lee said it earlier, it may be simple, but it's not easy, right? Because that's not real life. Like, you've got to take these things and give yourself some grace and have some patience as you work through it. Because that was for me. I was so convinced that I was a night person. I was so convinced of that. And when she moved my bedtime earlier and just said, hey, you have to stop working at this point, everything got so much better. Like, I was having all kind of weird symptoms. I was telling Lee, I was having hot flashes so bad. And I could not figure out what was going on, but it was all due to like cortisol and hormone shifts. My blood sugar was going crazy because I wasn't getting enough sleep and I just wasn't regulating. So move your bedtime up, treat it like it's your kid's bedtime. So give it that same kind of level of respect, right? You don't like give your kids like Kool-Aid and let them watch like Power Rangers before they go to bed. You're like really trying to make them chill out. And so when I started doing that for myself, that was a game changer and it really did help.
Did you feel more productive as well? Like, I know you
feel
like you lost hours, but do you feel more productive in the time that you have?
Oh, 100% more productive. And then also just, I'm telling you guys, I'm not a hangry person, but however you can combine angry and sleepy, I'm that, whatever that is, because I was not happy. And I had less patience for my kids. I had less time for my husband. Like, everyone was like, you should go to bed, because I was a jerk. And so when I started sleeping more, I was in a better mood. So I was more productive. And then my family was actually just, everybody started functioned better when I started getting more sleep. And I thought it would be the opposite. I thought like I would be taking away from them or taking away from clients. And it really was the opposite. It was like, oh, everybody likes you more when you're well rested.
That's the side benefit. People will like you more. Awesome. So if you're not sure where to start, start here. We've given you three very, very simple, to me, achievable tasks, right? Like, to implement right now. Look at your schedule, set that bedtime reminder on your phone. You can start that today. Yep. You can adjust the temperature. If you've got the zoning options, if you have like a newer house that has the zoning options, my thermostats, actually, I can go in there and set it so that it actually adjusts the temperature at certain times. And guess what? When I have that temperature start to rise in the morning, I don't need an alarm clock. Homegirl gets hot and she wakes up, right? So that's another benefit to controlling the temperature in the house. And then grab a spiral. How many of you have 10 spirals that are halfway full that you quit using because it was whatever, right? Trash or whatever, but you won't throw it away. Go find that spiral. Don't even go buy a new spiral for this. Find that spiral find the first blank page, set it by your bed. Now I just gave you a reason to quit wasting half dead spirals, right? Like, put it by your bed, start your brain dump tonight.
Go to sleep earlier for the planet.
We're saving the trees. So three things: set the bedtime, set a temp, brain dump. You can start those today. If you want more information, we have a couple of resources for you. One, if you'll go straight to our website, click on the podcast tab, we are going to have that listed out there for you. We've actually got this written out in a document for you so that if some of you like to read it instead of just listening to it, hello, me raising my hand, this will be there for you to print off or to access. We also have two other reads that you can get to directly from there called Hashy Girl Sleep Favorites. And then also another blog post on the two most essential elements of a successful sleep routine that might help you. So everything you need to know about sleep. If you have any questions, obviously feel free to jump into our free Facebook group. We answer questions there on a daily basis. And actually, talking about questions, I wanted to bring up the podcast. So moving forward, we are going to have three different types of podcasts that you're going to start noticing. So up until now, we've had these type of podcasts. Everything kind of has a topic. It's informational. We're giving you more in-depth direction on different types of things. And then even having tangible things that you can go access to implement, right? So these are the informational type podcasts. typically, I want to say, Liza, correct me if I'm wrong, these are 20 to 30 minutes long, something around there. We're also going to be working in some lives with Lee. So these are typically a little bit shorter, might approach the 20 minute mark, but on average, a little bit shorter. These are on fly, educational. A lot of times these are topics that I've discussed in the free Facebook group, but for those of you that aren't always in the free Facebook group or don't know how to access them to go back and listen to them, we're going to drop them in the podcast because it's good information. It's things people want and need to hear, and we want to make sure we share it with you. And then number three, which we haven't done yet, but we are going to start, our Q&As. So this is where we take questions from our audience. This will be through the free Facebook group. I'll also be posting some of these on Instagram. We will take your questions and we're actually going to be answering them on the podcast. So if you want these to be anonymous, let us know. We will answer them anonymously. Or if you don't mind us sharing your first name, we can do that as well, just to give you a shout out. But these are the three different things or types of podcasts that you're going to see moving forward. If you like this podcast, I'm shamelessly not, no, what am I doing? Without shame, Shane, I don't know.
Without shame. So shame.
Without shame. Yes. Gonna ask you. This is so weird, right? Go give us a rating. We need the ratings in order for them to bump us up on the podcast list. So I think you can do it in Apple Podcasts and Spotify now. So we're asking you, if we provide a benefit, if you got anything from this, all we're asking for is a simple little 5-star rating so that it bumps us up. If you want to share it with a friend, we'd appreciate that too. But at the end of the day,
do it shamelessly.
Yeah, but do it shamelessly. This is awesome. We love y'all. Thanks for being here. And we will talk to you next time.